Hallelujah. Feels good in here. I love churches where God is. I know that God wants His church back. Come on, God wants His church back. So, look, it's an honor for me to be here. I just want to honor you guys so much and just say thank you so much for having David and myself come down and be part of this. Pastor Trish and Clive, it's just a privilege for us to be here. And we just love what you carry and what you're stewarding in terms of the revival that God's just wanting to steward in this Aotearoa and in this city. And thank you for being river people. You tasted it. I want to honor Andrew and Ann King. I just love you guys and just amazing people. I've had the honor of coming to India with you on two occasions. And I've just seen their heart just wanting to serve the poor and release the kingdom and miracles. And so I love you guys, and just an honor for me to come to your home church. Whoa. Honor to see some of the team who we've been to India with Joyce and Carol. Praise God. I love it that Aotearoa sends out people carrying the love of God to explode love in the nations. To explode the father heart in the nations. How many know that in many nations right now, they've had roughly a gospel version where it's roughly, I don't know the exact figures, an estimate to me would be about 80% Jesus, maybe 10% Holy Spirit if you're lucky. If you're lucky, 10% of the Father, but He's more like a judge than He is a loving, perfect Father. He's more like a judge than Jesus' dad. And so right now, in the nations, if you have a revelation in your own heart or an encounter in your own heart of the Father, because how many know Jesus Christ is the way? The way to what? Or should I say the way to who? The truth. The truth of what? Or should I say the truth of whom? Come on, the very next part of the verse is, no one comes to Papa, no one comes to the Father except through Him. Jesus is the way to the Father. And so in the nations right now, if you have an encounter and a revelation in your spirit of the Father, you are worth more than your weight in gold. Because the Spirit is just breathing on that right now. Just opening up the nations. They've only met Jesus. And Jesus is amazing. He's the Savior. He's incredible. Jesus is... But if you come bringing the revelation of the Father, you watch and see as people lean forward in their chairs. Tears begin to well in their eyes as they're leaning forward into this revelation of what God is breathing in nations right now. Hallelujah for this house carrying that revelation. It's so I'm from Bethel Church in Whangarei. I'm from Bethel Church in Whangarei. We were sent out of Bethel Church in Redding, California. And how many know that our river came out of your guys' river? Yeah. That our spiritual mamas and fathers, or our grandparents, our spiritual grandparents, Papa Bill and Benny Johnson, they went to Toronto in 95 and received something from what John and Carol Arnott were carrying. They brought it back into Redding, California in 1995. And they were praying down the line of their church because they said, God, we want this. Father, we want this revival. We want joy. We want the Father. And they're praying down that line. And people aren't used to that kind of stuff. So how many know it takes a little while for people to warm up to it? I understand when people walk into a place like this where there's freedom and joy and they like freak out, like, whoa, whoa. Because if all their life they've only known a God who's like stoic and unemotional, up in the sky, more of a judge concerned more about rules than relationship. And they come into this place and here we are enjoying Him, delighting in Him, experiencing Him with smiles on our face, reflecting His face that we behold, which is happy. Then I can understand if someone hasn't understood that revelation of God, why they can feel a little bit, oh, whoa, whoa, out of place. But, hallelujah, God is just doing incredible things. Just doing incredible things. So, Benny Johnson and Bill are praying down this line, and hardly anyone's receiving of the Spirit because it's a new thing, like what I was talking about. They weren't used to a God that's free, a God of joy, a God of encounter in many ways. And so they're praying down the line, nothing's happening, nothing's happening, nothing's happened. Bam, they get one. One person is touched by this revival Spirit. Ends up on the ground, begins to laugh. Bill looks to Benny and says, "We got it. We got it. It's here. It's here." They knew that revival's just hit their church. So revival hits the church and it shrinks by 1,000. It shrinks by 1,000 because a new image of God is just sweeping into the church. People aren't used to it, so they're afraid. But now it's just spilling out and affecting the nations. But it all started in Toronto. So we just honor this move of the Spirit right here. We just honor the spiritual mamas and papas of this house. Some people say, "Oh, we've moved on from joy. We've moved on from joy. We're mature. We're more mature now. We've moved on from joy." That is just what? We've moved on from joy. We're more mature now. Moved on from joy. We've grown in the Lord. Yes, that was just a small season for the church. Now we're moving forward into the new things. Bored stiff. But at least we're more mature. Come on. How many know you don't move on from revival? How many know that one of the mandates that God has placed on us as the children of God and the ambassadors of His is that we steward the deposit of God that He places upon our lives. We don't move on from joy. We take joy with us into the next phase of God. We don't leave it over there. We keep carrying it. We got to keep the joy. Come on, it says in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9 that Jesus Christ was anointed with the oil of gladness more than all of His companions. He had a lot of companions. He was a very friendly man. Well, I don't know if he was friendly. Well, yes, he was friendly. Controversial, revolutionary. But He was anointed with the oil of gladness more above all of His friends, all of His companions. You know, some guys, some Greek guys are coming over from different nation, like hearing about all the miracles and the signs and the wonders. They're like, they come up to the disciples, say, "Oh, now I've heard about this Jesus, these miracles. Which one of you guys is Jesus? Which one's Jesus? Just look for the guy with the biggest smile on his face, laughing the most, because Jesus is anointed with the oil of gladness. Chances are, it'll be Jesus." Come on. Any Hollywood image of Jesus that you've had, you know, we have in the Western world an image of a spiritual leader. A spiritual leader. I'm a spiritual leader. Look, I'm a spiritual leader. Hang on. That was not quite right. Because I'm smiling. I've got to take the smile off my face. I am a spiritual leader. Follow me. All the Hollywood images of Christ, we've got to flush, because the scriptures say he was filled with joy. He was throwing his head back, laughing. How many times do we read in the Gospels where Jesus would respond to the disciples with joy? How many know that we're created in his image? And Jesus came to restore the image of God. And so we're more in the image when we're like this than when we're like, I'm spiritual. I don't have any emotions. That would not be spiritual. So Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness above all of his friends. Just back up six verses. Back up six verses in Hebrews chapter 1. And you come to Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. It says that Jesus is the exact representation of Father. The express image of his glory. Whoa, 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 whoa. Are you trying to tell me that Papa God's happy? Are you trying to tell me he's got a smile on his face? I thought he was up there on his throne, white-knuckled, looking down, going, uh-oh, it's all turning to custard. Oh, no, I'm freaking out. Oh, no, I've got my judge's wig on, ready to bat. Come on. He's a happy God. He's in a good mood. When we see him like this, we become like the one that we worship. We get happy. Feels good to have a good laugh. A merry heart doeth well, like unto a medicine. I've been to Bagiel twice. I got to partner, had the honor of partnering with Angela twice there. We held a youth rally on the base, and so we had about 50 to 100 young people there, probably about 100 young people there, and anyway, the Spirit showed up, which I just love. Father, show up. I love that, and he's here actually. I didn't even need to pray that prayer, and we had bodies hitting the floor. We had a joy tunnel. Problem was, we had a lot of blockages because not many people could make it through the tunnel because they're on the ground just encountering God. And we had the interns just so incredibly intoxicated in the Lord, and we just had joy exploding. It just turned into this laughing, joyful, like incredible ha 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 time. Some of the kids, they walked home. They don't have cars because they are poor. They walked home and they were stumbling down the road because they're so intoxicated on the Spirit. How many know when you've grown up and you've had some of the testimonies that you were sharing of heartache and brokenness and pain? How many know how much freedom comes when you can step into that place of joy? When life all of a sudden, the pain of it is gone and you're experiencing something new for the first time. Mirth, joy, they're like, please stop praying for us. It's too much. Our stomachs are too sore. So they're walking down the street. They've got a couple of adults. A policeman is driving past. He turns around and stops and says, what are you young people on? What drugs are you on? What alcohol have you been taking? You're too young to be drunk. The simple response was, we're experiencing the Holy Spirit. We are experiencing the Holy Spirit. So, honestly, we're just with these young kids in one of the villages in Purok 5, actually. One of the house churches. We had a great time in the house church. They took us to an old man, probably in his 70s, 80s, maybe even 90s. Just on his on his, basically on his death sick bed. He was just, couldn't get up, blind and deaf and incredible immense pain. And there was kids all around the house. I don't know how they fit all these kids in these houses. And so we thought, well, let's pray for this old man in Prayer Rock 5. And I thought, you know what? The kingdom belongs to the children. Children, just put your hand on his body right now. Put your hand and repeat this after me. Say, Jesus. And the kids are like, Jesus. However they say it in Tagalog. And they got their hands on his spine. And we're praying for his spine. And say, pain go, presence come. Pain go, presence come. And I said, now take that pain. And they're just kids. And I love the freedom of kids. I said, take the pain off his back and throw it out the window. So the five-year-olds are like taking the pain off this old man's back and throwing it out the window as a prophetic act, making healing fun for kids so it's not boring. His back gets healed. He sits up. We start praying for his ear. The kids put his hands on his ears. Guess what? His ears opened up. He begins to hear. We pray for his eyes. Guess what? His eyes opened up. Five-year-olds, six-year-olds, seven-year-olds laying their hands on their great-granddaddy. And the miracle power of God is flowing through their five-year-old arms down out through their hands into their great-granddaddy in a childlike way. You don't have to get too religious to do miracles. Scriptures don't say, pray really, 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 really hard because the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Scriptures don't say fast like crazy because the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Scriptures don't say become so holy that you're just a religious freak because the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Now, praying and fasting and being holy, these are amazing things. But that don't make a difference whether or not the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Jesus commissioned them, the disciples, the 70, then the disciples. John the Baptist's message was this, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I used to think it was repent. Now, I used to actually think it was fast and pray like a maniac. And then the kingdom will come. And then I got deliverance from that as I was being healed of the orphan spirit of performance to try and earn my Father's approval. Hallelujah, now I don't have to work for His love, not one bit. I simply get to work from His love. I don't work for His acceptance no more. I simply get to work from His acceptance, from belonging, from significance, not working for significance anymore. I already got it in Christ. I'm so significant because I'm a son of the Father. Full stop. That's my state of being. That's your state of being. Son or daughter of the Father. You don't work for significance no more. In fact, the person that spends all their life working for significance and then the person that spends their life working from significance because they figured out who they were is going to bear a whole lot more fruit than that guy. The person working for love, the person working from love, I know who's going to bear more fruit. I know who's going to do greater works. So I used to think it was pray and fast like a maniac, and then the kingdom will come at hand. Then I had healing, and then I used to think it was repent, and then the kingdom will come to hand. By the way, the kingdom coming to hand means the kingdom coming, the kingdom at hand, right here, right now. Right here, right now. The kingdom is right here, right now. I used to think it was repent, then the kingdom will come to hand, like my repentance depended on whether or not the kingdom would come. But it doesn't say that. It's just a simple statement of reality. The kingdom, whether you repent or not, is at hand. That's the way the world is right now. Bummer if you don't change your thoughts to line up with the way that the world is now. You've gone all quiet on me. Whether I repent or not, The kingdom is still at hand. Now I need to repent because I want to live in that world. Holiness and fasting and prayer is all good. Doesn't make a difference to whether or not the kingdom's at hand. Guess what? The fact is, God's kingdom is right here, right now. God's will is here. Right here, right now, God's wanting to do great things. Great things. Come on. So, we're not going to leave joy behind. We never mature from joy. In fact, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's not our joy, by the way. It's Jesus' joy. It's the joy of the Lord's. And that's our strength. That's our empowerment. Who wants more empowerment? That's grace. The joy of the Lord is our grace empowerment. Who wants to be more empowered? Well, the joy. Step into the joy of the Lord. Wow. So I'm from Bethel Church. We've been going for just over, we've been going for over 3.5 years now. And our first church service, Matt and myself, Matt Lansdowne, senior associate leader, and myself, our first service was a Friday night in my car. We're driving. We wanted to see, hey, is the kingdom at hand in Whangarei? Yeah. I wonder if the kingdom's going to work here in Whangarei. We know that it works in a whole bunch of other places. I wonder if it works here. We knew that was going to work. We wanted to see it work. So we just jump in my car. And we're driving down the street looking for someone that we can just love on. Looking for someone we can just love on. And so we see about a dozen teenagers. This is our first church service. A dozen teenagers on the side of the road, just up from where I live, at a bus stop. It's just got dark. They're waiting for it to get a little bit darker for the party to start. They started to drink. They're just looking for trouble. Looking for trouble. So Matt and myself are like, oh my goodness. We're so excited. Oh my goodness. How many know light shines into the darkness? Light shines in the darkness. And so we just park the car and we pretty much run. We're barely containing our excitement because here's revival about to happen on these teenagers. And we're like, kia ora, kia ora, kia ora, how's it going? Kia ora, how's it going? Shaking these guys' hands. And one of the guys goes to me, he goes, you look rich. I'm like, oh, I just was wearing shoes. I was wearing some shoes. Apparently that's quite a common statement before you're about to get a bit of a biffo and have your shoes stolen. Fortunately, I was ignorant to that. So, not really, mate, but anyway, it's all good. How are you? We're shaking people's hands, and I shake one guy's hand. I have a word of knowledge that he's got pain. Just a simple word of knowledge. You got pain in your body. Shaking his hand. Bro, you got pain in your body. He said, yeah, I do, actually. Yeah, it's pretty sore. I'm like, what happened, bro? He said, oh, this big, tall, moldy fella, probably about 14 years old, but it's taller than me. He's like, oh, I was at this party and I got really drunk last week. And I was wearing my fake leather jacket. And I fell into a fire. And the fake leather jacket was like plastic, melted to my back. And I have burns all over my back. And it's hot and it's painful. I said, well, bro, you're going to love this, man. You are going to love this. I'm going to pray for you and Jesus is going to take all the pain away. And he's like, he's got this mocking look on his face, like, yeah, whatever's. But I didn't ask him if I could pray for him. I just said, I'm going to. But I'm going to pray for you. And so I just prayed for him, just a simple prayer for the Spirit to come and for the pain to go and the presence of Jesus to come into his back and heal him from the burn mark. And anyway, I said, bro, now check it out. How does it feel? How does it feel? And his jaw drops. He can't feel an ounce of pain anymore. Here's his response. It's so funny. The healed face responses, the healing responses that we get are so funny. There's so many different responses. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. I've had people just run, just like the power of God's just begun to touch them, and they've just run. Just gone out of there. This one, he just stopped that mocking look on his face, and he walked around and just as far away as he could in the circle of friends, just sat there and just looked at the ground, stunned in silence. Meanwhile, I'm slightly encouraged by that. Also, it says in John 2, when Jesus did that first miracle in Cana of Galilee, that first miracle, it says, he released his glory. I'm feeling the release of glory. I respond to that. I'm not one of those spiritual leaders that doesn't feel an ounce of presence, because that would not be spiritual. I'm like, whoa, you know, I'm intoxicated on the Spirit. And there's just love brimming out of my eyes for these broken teenage boys. And they say to me, I'm like, hey, how's it going? I'm just over the top in love with these kids. Sometimes it's good to be over the top in love. And they're like, what are you on? What are you on? What are you on, man? What's it? I had a big bottle of water. What are you on, bro? Is that vodka? Are you on pee, bro? What are you on? And I say this. I'm on the same stuff that just healed your buddy over there of all the burn pain. You've been healed, ain't that right, buddy? And he lifts up his hand, he says, yeah, I've been healed. Testifies in front of a dozen of his buddies that Jesus, I'm on that stuff. Who here wants to feel that in their bodies? Bunch of kids put up their hands. I'm like, come with me. So I got four or five of these kids. I line them up against this fence. Put out your hands, kids. And so we've got these 10-year-old, 14-year-old, 16-year-old. Like and the presence of God begins to explode on these kids. And the word of knowledge begins to flow, and they're just getting miraculously healed of their ailments. And some of them end up giving their hearts to Jesus. That was our first church service. That was how we started off. Then we ended up in this little Baptist building up in the north side of Carmel, and which is on the outskirts of Whangarei. And we had some great experiences and encounters there. We had one girl. Is this all right if I just share some stories? Because I haven't met you guys before, so you know, I just want to let you into my world. I have three beautiful children. Three of them four and under. They're all four and under. So I made sure that I came down here not this morning but last night. Because I wanted at least one night of full uninterrupted sleep before I spoke this morning. You don't normally get that when you got three under four, right? Some of you bring back some memories, right? And so, yeah, beautiful kids. My wife is beautiful and just blessed. So we moved into Carmel, and one of our girls, 17 years old, Bethany, she has this dream, bro. She has this dream. And in this dream, she sees people walking past this Baptist church building where we're having our worship services and just walking on the footpath and joy hitting them. And they're just exploding with joy. So she tells me this dream on the Thursday night. So I'm like, okay, we'll file that dream away. That'll be a great prophetic word. I can't wait for that to come true. You know, we'll just file that and wait for that to happen. I didn't think it was going to happen this quick. That Sunday, we're just at church, and normal church, you know, Jesus is good, so he does good things. He shows up in church, and church is over, and this visiting couple, they're going out to their car. Now, they've parked their car on the farthest-most part of the car park right by the footpath. And so they're walking back in the gravelly, dirty car park, and they're an elderly couple in their 60s, and one of them... Uh-oh. What is elderly?
More mature.
I should have said, I meant more mature. Who says elderly's bad? Who says elderly's bad? Elderly is good. Elderly is good. Wisdom, maturity. It was an honor statement. An honor statement. Help me get out of this hole. Someone help me get out of this hole. They were a more mature couple, filled with wisdom and glory. A crown of glory was upon their head. They come to the edge of the car park, and the wife just collapses. She hits the deck. The husband's like, oh my goodness, my wife's had a heart attack. He reaches down, he's concerned, he's like freaking out. And then he hears this. She opens up her eyes, she's on the floor, he hears this. Next he hears, then he begins to hear, he picks her up, puts her in the car, and by the time they get home, she is just holding her stomach, filled with the joy of the Lord. I just love it when God does stuff. God, do more stuff. Do more stuff. One lady, she finishes church. She's walking down. Just innocent, quiet. This is Denise. Innocent and quiet as a church mouse. She's a Catholic school teacher. This isn't being recorded. Denise isn't going to see this. No, she's amazing. She's amazing. But she's quiet. It's her personality. And she's walking down the driveway, and then she just hits this invisible force, this invisible wall. So she's like, and she can't get through it. So she turns back around, tries it again, hits this wall, turns back around, tries it again, bam! Each time she does it, she's getting more intoxicated in the spirit. She decides to go right back, and she takes a run up. Bam! She hits this invisible being in the driveway at the end of church. I'm like, I wonder why God, I'm actually just thinking right now, God, why don't you do that in church, during church? Why is it at the end of church? I need to give him more space. I'm being convicted by the Spirit right now. Anyway, she comes back into church. She's like, I can't get home. Help me. She gets two of our biggest guys, Louis is one of them, to carry her down the driveway. She was so heavy, they were struggling. When she comes to that point, she's just drunk as a monkey. She can't drive. She cannot drive. So they bundle her into the passenger seat of Louis' car. And one of the other guys drives her car home, and she manages to just bark out the instructions of how to get to her house. Turn left here, right. And they park in the driveway, and they lift her up the driveway, and they open the door. They find the key. They open the door, and they just put her in the front door. She crumples on the floor on a heap, just in the front door. She was there for about an hour. Just right in the front door, just filled with the Spirit, encountering God, experiencing Him, having her heart transformed in the presence of the Lord. Holy Spirit. We had another, more Father. So that was some of the story of our Bethel journey over the last 3.5 years. Now, in the last 6 months, we've just moved in, guess what, to a nightclub. Guess what? The worst nightclub in town, the most violent nightclub. They had murders. Bouncers were killed at the front of this nightclub. In fact, the Vine Street that we're on, I wonder if there's any prophetic in the fact that the name of our street that our church is on is Vine Street. Vine Street that we're on was in the newspapers 10 years ago and was still to this day, well, not to this day anymore, but till last year, known as the most dangerous and violent street in Northland. The most dangerous and violent street in Northland because of the crime stats on that particular street. No parents of any kids would let their kids go out there. No families would be seen after dark because of the violence there. They'd avoid that place. And it all spilled out of the nightclub called, guess what? The nightclub was called Heaven. Heaven Nightclub. Heaven Nightclub on Vine Street. Over a street called Quality Street. We're over a street called Quality Street. And so the landlords, the nightclub guys said, you know, stuff this, we're over it. The guy was in his 60s who was... which is a great age, a great age. It's like a great age. But he said, you know, I'm too mature for this. Staying up 3 o'clock in the mornings, you know, for his nightclub. So he wanted to get out of it. He wants to get out of it. So he, he hands in the notice, and now the landlord's looking for tenants. Another nightclub is wanting to move in there. We're wanting to move in there too. We present our offer. The nightclub, other nightclub guys present their offer. Their offer is higher than ours. The landlord says to us, "We like you guys better than those guys. Their offer is higher than yours, but we're going to take your offer. We want a church up there. We don't want a nightclub." He says, "Nightclub, we believe, is a dying industry. We believe that your industry is a growth industry." And so we move into Heaven on Vine Street over Quality Street. That's the building. We've kept the name of the nightclub there for a season. Heaven. You'll see our building if you go to Whangarei. It'll be Heaven and Bethel Church. But God is so good. God is so good. Jesus. So the kingdom's here. Kingdom's at hand. We're stepping into Reformation in Aotearoa. There's a great Reformation taking place in our nation right now. God is shifting our mindsets. He's shifting things. He's rightly ordering truth. How many know one of our jobs as the people of God is to shout what the Bible is shouting, speak what the Bible is speaking, and only whisper what the Bible is whispering? And we know the Bible says that, you know, it talks about judgment. But then it says that mercy triumphs over judgment. So we know that it's the Bible that is shouting mercy. Heaven is shouting mercy and only speaking judgment. We're called to rightly align truth. This is what this Reformation is doing that's sweeping through Aotearoa right now. It's rightly aligning truth. How many know that the scriptures are shouting faith, shouting hope, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is
love.
So while we're to shout hope, shout faith, we are to cry out love. There's a massive love revival smashing through our nation right now. Just come into alignment with that. I figured out, you know what? I could carry the hammer of breakthrough and try and get revival, or I could just figure out what the Spirit's doing and just jump in behind that. Make me look good. And I know one thing that the Spirit's doing, pouring out Father's love. And I know one thing over this house, Harvest City Church, you're mandated to pour out Father's love. You're in alignment with what the Spirit is doing in a nation right now. Momentum. Good things. Man, Holy Spirit. It was this young man in our church, Ephraim. I love this story. Ephraim comes into our church, 16 years old, 16 or 17 years old. Doesn't know Jesus. We love the presence of God. You love the presence of God. We give room for the presence of the Lord to do stuff. He comes in and experiences for the first time in his life something of the presence of God. He opens up his heart and gives his life to Christ because he discovers that this presence that's bringing his heart into a place of peace and safety, protection and love is Jesus' presence. So he says yes to Jesus. Praise God. I love the presence of Jesus. I'm not going to back down on the presence of God. It's one of our core values. Papa. 2 weeks later, we find out he comes to church now. He's coming to church. 2 weeks later, we find out he's deaf in one of his ears. We pray for him on a healing altar call. His deaf ear opens up. He's hearing stereo for the first time in 17 years. Hearing stereo. His dad is a drug addict on marijuana or alcohol. He's either high on drugs or low on drugs, really, marijuana. Or he's drunk. Or he's a combination of the two. And because of the shame of that, Ephraim grew up with his dad in his dad's house, but it was as if he wasn't really there, his dad. They come to the dining room table for breakfast, and if Ephraim had timed it so that his dad was there at the same time as him, it was lucky if he'd even get a grunt of acknowledgement from his dad. Never a, you've got what it takes, son. Never a, you can do it. Let alone an, I love you, son. But I love it how the Holy Spirit's always at work. And I love it how the Holy Spirit's the spirit of hope. And he never gives up hope over even the worst sinner. I know that the Spirit hasn't given up hope on me. Hasn't given up hope. He's filled with hope. So he was at work in Ephraim's dad. Ephraim didn't know it. And so Ephraim comes up to his dad and he says, Dad, I went to this church and he shared the testimony of his ear opening up. And his dad's like, oh, wow. And that testimony was enough to cause enough of a stirring in his heart, which the Spirit, by the way, must have been at the behind the scenes working on for years, to get his dad to come to one of our Thursday night worship nights. Come on. He'd been on drugs and alcohol for 21 years, every day, 21 years. Ephraim did not know what it was to have a sober dad. Only knew what it was to have an intoxicated on drugs and an alcohol dad. But his dad comes into church for the first time in over 21 years. And the presence of God is there. I watch and see as the presence of the Lord just begins to come over him like a waterfall. I begin to prophesy over him. The presence, just a simple prophecy. I just prophesied what I felt heaven was doing. I see the presence of God coming over you like a waterfall. He hits the deck like a ton of bricks. This is Ephraim's dad. Hits the deck. He's on the floor, but his arms are still raised. On the floor, his arms are raised. Tears are streaming out of his eyes. I'm seeing him mouthing, thank you, thank you, thank you. As he is overwhelmed with this incredible fact that the presence of God would touch someone like me. How many know he's the God of the second chance? Third chance, fourth chance. He can't stop loving. He's hunting you down with his love. He's hunting a nation down with his love. He's active over Aotearoa. He's active, loving on a nation, looking for people that will partner with him in that. I want to partner with him in that. Anyone want to partner with him in that? Anyone want to partner with him in that? And so, 20 minutes he's on the floor there, just tears and just worship and thank you. As he's marveling over God and why his presence would touch him, a filthy sinner. The love of God covers, by the way. love of God covers a multitude of sins. Love of God is active towards you today. He stands up off the floor. I love being a pastor. I watch this. Stands up. He looks around. Do you know what he's looking for? His son Ephraim. Ephraim's in church. Finds him. I see him. He walks up to his son. Now, he's never said, I love you, son. Barely even recognized him. He puts his arms around him. I watch this. He puts his arms around Ephraim. And I can watch by lip reading. He's saying this. I love you, son. I'm sorry. I love you, son. I'm sorry. I love you, son. Over and over and over again. Here's what happened. Heaven came over him. Who knows what heaven beats to? Heaven is beating with the heartbeat of Papa God. It says in Colossians 1:13, it is the kingdom of the Son of His love. We're in a kingdom of a Father's heart of love beating out towards sons and daughters. That's, if we're not aligned with the kingdom, just aligned with loving on people. And then all the stuff of the kingdom takes place. That's where the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the good things take place. You know that the healings aren't just to confirm the fact that the kingdom's at hand, although that's certainly one aspect of the healings and the miracles was to confirm that the kingdom was at hand in Jesus' ministry and the apostles' ministry, to show that what they were saying is actually true. That is one aspect, but I'll tell you one thing. I know for a fact that is not the main aspect. The main aspect is that God is a God of incredible love, that He's our Father. Jesus said, perfect Father. He don't like it when His kids are in pain. Because love don't like it when your kids are in pain. Parents, you know what I'm talking about? You come running. I come running to my son when he's in pain. Which is just about every day. He's constantly injuring himself. He's a go-getter. He's a go-getter. The main reason God does miracles is not to confirm that the kingdom's at hand. That's one of the reasons. But because he just don't like it when his kids are in pain. And so love does something about that. When love can do something about that. And so he does miracles because he wants to reach into your world and say, mwah! I love you. You're in pain, I don't like that. Mwah! Miracle, I love you. I love you. I love you. He loves you like crazy. More than you could ever imagine. More than you could ever know. He loves you. He's head over heels. So what happened in that encounter with Ephraim's dad was that he came under heaven. Heaven beats with the heartbeat of Father. He stood up under the heartbeat of heaven, and heaven is beating with love for sons and daughters. So he found his son and just simply aligned. And love flowed out of him. Healing came into his heart, into his son's heart. His son got to hear for the first time from his dad, I love you, son. I hope that you've heard from your Father in heaven, I love you, daughter. I love you, daughter. I love you, son. I love you, son. Healing to your heart. Miracles. I love you, son. I love you, daughter. It's an honor to have you in the house, Simeon. I love you, bro. Powerful man of God. Incredible destiny on your life. I'm gonna just finish on one more testimony, and then we're gonna have some miracles. And you know what the miracles are? The miracles are, I love you, daughter. I love you, son. We were doing some ministry up in a small village just north of Whangarei, 600 people in the village. Very small church, We had more on our ministry team than in the church. We had 20 on our ministry team, about 20 in the church. And we come there, and there's this young man. His name is Bronson. And a young Māori boy, 15 years old. And he had a girlfriend. He'd been going to church for over a year, but he'd had a girlfriend, about 13-year-old girlfriend. His girlfriend says to him, "Bronson, you know, obviously his girlfriend had some wounds, because she said this to him, 'Bronson, I want you to have sex with me.' And Bronson said to her, 'No, you know, I'm trying to be a good Christian boy.' So she said, 'Bronson, if you don't have sex with me, I'm going to kill myself.' So Bronson, who's just trying to be an honorable Christian young man and follow the ways of God, just met Jesus a year and a half before. I'd led him on an encounter where he'd actually experienced Christ as a light. And in that light, he'd opened up his heart to that and given his heart to Christ. He said, 'I see light.' He'd shut his eyes. He said, this is the encounter anyway, that led him to the Lord. So he's just trying to follow the Lord who he's met. She says, 'Sleep with me or I'll kill myself.' She's trying to get love. She's got the orphan spirit like crazy manifested in her life. She's going to feel loved that way. Bronson says, 'No.' Here's the saddest part of the story. She kills herself, 13 years old. Now, 15. He don't have weapons of spiritual warfare that he knows of. He has them. He doesn't know how to operate in them. 15-year-old doesn't have the tools, who's only been saved for 1 year, of how to deal with this. And so he is riddled with guilt, riddled with shame. And that same horrible, ugly demon that took her down is now looking for someone else to pester. The love of God destroys the works of the devil, by the way. Comes up to Bronson. He starts having open visions in his guilt and in his shame and in his pain in his heart. And in the open vision, he's seeing her face looking at him, mocking him, pointing the finger saying, 'This is your fault, Bronson. This is your fault that I'm dead. Your fault, your fault, your fault that you did this to me.'" How do you deal with that when you're 15? He didn't know how to deal with it. The only way he knew how to deal with it was he's going to take his life too. Ends up in the mental ward of Whangarei Hospital. On 24/7 suicide watch. I used to think it was 3 weeks. It was for 3 months. 3 months, 24/7 suicide watch. He doesn't know how to deal with the pain. I happened to stumble into that church the week that he's let out, and he comes to church that day. His mum had been praying for him. Mama of 13 kids. Been praying for him. His 25-year-old bro's there. And I see him come in. And I'm like, you know, what do you do when you know that someone's in so much pain? I know what the answer is to so much pain in your heart. Hello, we just know what the answer is, don't we? We know that the love of God will cast out all fear, will comfort, will bring healing and wholeness. So I said, "Bro, come up the front. I'm going to pray for you. Father God, release your love right now. Father's around you right now. Put out your hands, man." I see him put out his hands. I see peace come over him, over his face. His peace just comes. A tear begins to well up in his eyes. And then a smile comes on his face as the presence of the Lord is around him. Just been let out of the suicide ward for 3 months. Presence of God. His mum is in church that day. His bro's in church, 25 years old, deaf in one ear, been stabbed in the right arm, and his bro gives his heart to Jesus. They pray for his ear. Guess what? It pops open. Just what a great introduction to Jesus. Pray for his arm. Guess what? All the pain leaves his arm. Awesome introduction to Jesus. I can hear in stereo now. I met Jesus, now I hear in stereo. I couldn't do that before. That's his bro. His mom was born with a deformity. They operated on her as a child. She has one leg 2 inches shorter than the other. So much so that her jean legs drag on the ground. She's got one jean leg frayed at the bottom, and the other one is fine, and her back is in incredible pain because of the twistedness of that. It wasn't a word of knowledge that you've got one leg shorter than the other. It was a, you've got one leg shorter than the other, you know, like you're standing crooked. Sit down. We get two of our Love Revival, our evangelist team, people on our evangelist team begin to pray for her. They're 13 years old. No such thing as a junior Holy Ghost, by the way. The same Almighty Spirit that's on you is on that five-year-old. They begin to pray. The leg grows out an inch. I say, stop, because Bronson comes over. Stop praying. You've seen enough miracles. They've seen hundreds of miracles. Taylor's seen hundreds of miracles. Bronson, put out your hand. Put it on her leg. Put it on your mum's leg, bro. Keep your eyes open. Don't shut your eyes. Repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus. He says, Jesus, I release your presence. I release your presence onto this leg, onto this leg. Grow, grow. Keep your eyes open, bro. Keep your eyes open, bro. And he got to watch and see through his messed up world, just being let out of the suicide ward. He got to not only watch, he got to experience the power of God flowing down his arm, out his hands, to his mom's leg. And her leg grows out. She stands up. She's walking straight for the first time in her life. Her legs are completely even. All the back pain's gone. And the power of God's flowing through this broken 14 or 15-year-old boy. Does that encourage anybody? Because it sure encourages me. On two levels. If he could work through that broken kid, I wonder if he could work through me. Number one. If he worked through that broken kid, I wonder if he'd work through you. I'm here to declare he'll work through you. And what does this talk to me about the nature of God? How badly he wants people to experience his kiss. That he'll even use a broken boy. He'll use you. This is his nature. He comes into our world. This is his kingdom. His kingdom's at hand. The king of this kingdom is a father and his son. And they are filled with love. It's right here, right now in this room. I want everyone to stand up right now. We're going to pray. Do you mind if I have someone on the keys or the guitar? That would be great. Holy Spirit. Or just background music, I don't mind. Whatever. I just want you to open your hearts up to the Spirit right now. Open your hearts up to Holy Spirit. We didn't come here to play church. We didn't come here to tick our religious box and say, you know, I've done my religious duty for the week. I can go throughout the rest of my week feeling religiously justified. I came here because I love Jesus and I want to experience him. So open up your hearts to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, who is in this room. Father, I thank you that you said that your kingdom is at hand through your Son, Jesus Christ. That the good news, Jesus, 2,000 years ago, was that your kingdom is at hand and the news report has not changed. It has not left. The kingdom of God is in our midst, which means that the love of the Father is accessible. Which means that our whole world is changed. Because you're here in our midst. God has become King. And this King is loving Father. And this King promised to us, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. He promised to us, I'm in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He promised to us, in you, we live and we move and we have our being. We live in Christ. He's in us. He's with us. He's the King. He's active in our lives. He's bringing heaven to earth, his world into our world. This is our mandate. This is our goal. This is who we are. Fiery, powerful lovers that bring his goodness in. in Jesus' name. So I speak over you today and say, you have got what it takes. You have got what it takes because God's kingdom's at hand. You have got what it takes. He loves you. You've got what it takes. You're His daughter. You're His son. So Father, right now I ask for your presence to increase. For your presence to increase. In Jesus' name. He, he, he. Ho, ho, ho. We behold the smiling face of Jesus. More, Father. Lay the move right now in this place. Release your goodness. You're a good God. Your job right now is to be loved on by Jesus. Your job right now is to be a beloved son, a beloved daughter. Let the presence of God come over you. Put your hands out right now. I want you to look at your hands and just repeat this after me. Say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Not too far away, is it? That's the way reality is. Jesus said it. Jesus is creator. And what he says is. That means the love of the Father is right here. That means there's healing in your hands. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is right here, right now. So Father, more in Jesus' name. More in Jesus' name. If you're here and you have any pain, I'm just doing a call out for pain. Just pain. Whatever that pain is, just slip up your hand right now. I just want to have an understanding of how many are here and actually in pain. So thank you, Father. So let me just pray for you right now. So Father, thank you for these ones who have had their hands up, who are in pain right now. And Daddy, you're their dad. And Daddy, you're a lavish, generous Father. We don't need to squeeze a drip of the anointing out of you like we have to perform for it. You lavish us with love. Lavish these ones with love. Kiss them. Kiss them, Father. Come to them right now. By the power of the Spirit in Jesus' name. I declare and prophesy miracles in Jesus' name. The kiss of heaven in the name of the Lord. The kiss of heaven in the name of the Lord. Thank you, God. So, Father, release miracles right now in Jesus' name. Let the breakthrough begin right now in the name of Jesus. Let the love of God be on display right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. More, Father. More, Father. Just behold the face of Jesus. Set yourself before the face of God. Set yourself before Him. You're invited into His presence. You're not only invited, you're welcomed. You're not only welcomed, you're desired and wanted in the presence of God. In the presence of God. In the name of Jesus, pain, you go. We don't want pain here. Pain is an enemy of our Father. Our Father is in this room. Pain, leave. In Jesus' name. I want you to put your hand on that where that pain is right now. And just say, no more. In Jesus' name. Now say, hee hee hee. Yeah, I just love childlikeness. I love childlikeness. I want you to just begin to check it out. There's going to be a couple of people who are already healed. Just begin to check it out. There's going to be a few people who are already just healed. And your pain's already gone. We're going to pray some more. But there's some people who are already healed. So I want you to just begin to move it around. If you're 80% or more healed right now, just check it out. Check it out. 80% or more. Just from that first prayer. Just give me a quick wave. I just want to see if God's where God's moving right now. 80% or more. 80% to 100%. Who's feeling? Yeah, right down the back there. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Jesus has begun. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the A to Z. Come on, 80% or more. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, come on. Back at the back there as well. Another one. 80% or more healed. This is, honestly, I know that we're a microwave generation, but sometimes it takes a little working of miracles. Sometimes it takes A through to B, C, and then to Z. He's the God who starts and He ends. Thank you, God. Let's just give Him appreciation just for three miracles that have already begun to take place. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now I want you to look at your hand again and say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, put up your hands again if you're in pain. If you're in pain, put up your hands. Okay, now I want the rest of you to come out from under your chairs. Not under your chairs, you're not hiding under your chairs. This is not one of those dead religious churches where you just want to be hiding under your chair. But come out from your chairs, go to someone who has got their hand up. Because how many know that we're all God's children? The kingdom's in each of our hands. It's His kingdom, but it's in our hands. His kingdom, but it's in our hands. I want you to go up to someone, just put your hand on their shoulder, and I want you to quickly find out, hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10's excruciating, 0's no pain at all. I want you to find out where they are on that pain scale. 8 out of 10, 10 out of 10, 8 out of 10 is quite sore. Hallelujah. Okay, great. This is an active church. Church is not a participator sport. It's not a spectator sport. It's a participation sport. So you found out where that pain is and what it is on the pain scale. Now I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you that you're a good Father and you're here. I release your presence into this body part in Jesus' name. Be healed right now in the name of Jesus. I just want you just to become aware of the presence of God. And just that you're releasing His presence. You're releasing healing. You carry His presence. You carry His goodness. You're His Son. You carry His name. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for healing. Just electricity of healing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay. Now what I want you to do is begin to just move that body part around. Move it around. I need you to by moving it around, you're stepping into an atmosphere of faith. You're activating on faith. Move it around and then report back. Report back to your prayers. Move it around and report back. Whoa, I feel the Holy Ghost, by the way. I feel the Spirit. You can lift it up. You couldn't do that before. Ah! Wow. All right, report back. Now, if the pain has gone down on the pain scale, 80% to 100%, so 80% or more, I just want you to begin, that group, just begin to wave hands. I just want to see who's had a breakthrough, 80% or more. So we've had breakthrough at the back. We've had breakthrough right here. You couldn't lift your arm before. Couldn't lift her up. Hey, guys. Could not lift her arm before. Now lift up your arm. Yee-hoo-hoo-hoo! Let's give Jesus thanks for that. Come on. Come on. 80%. Yeah, wave if you're 80% or more. I want to see. Right now, on the count of three, we're going to do it like this. Because I know it's so hard not to get distracted because we just want to keep praying. This is a praying church. And I feel the Holy Ghost right now. And I'm getting drunk on the Spirit right now. We could lose the meeting. Okay, on the count of three, if you've been 80% or more healed of the pain, I want you to wave both hands above your head, okay? You ready? Sorry, just going to just see where the Spirit's moving and what He's up to. Okay, one, two, three, wave. Just wave. Okay, we got the hands here, we got the hands there. We got the hands there, we got the hands there. We got the hands there, we got the hands there. Yahoo! Let's give Jesus appreciation. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I just want to hear it. Put up your... Who's had the pain for more than 6 months and you're 80% or more healed right now? Yeah, come on. Over there and over there. Over there as well. How long did you have pain for?
Over a year.
Over a year, and you...
It hasn't helped it.
So you've had steroid injections and it couldn't help it, cortisone or whatever it is. And so you couldn't lift it up. But now you can lift it how far?
Yeah, right up.
That's so good. How long did you have your pain for at the back? You had it more? Yeah. Yep. Come on. Always had it. Wow. Thank you, God. God is so good. God is so good. Well, Holy Spirit. Woo-hoo-hoo. Well, what I want to do is, do you have a ministry team? We did. That's right. Yeah, ministry team. I just want you to, ministry team, come up the front. Ministry team and elders, come up the front. Actually, face me. Oh, let me pray for you first. So come on up the front and face me. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. We can move this. Okay, just face me. I want you just to face me and join hands. Wow. Wow. Holy Ghost. Stretch out your hands towards these guys. Please, church, stretch out your hands towards the ministry team. So, Father, right now we thank you for the anointing. Father, we thank you for your presence that's here. You're a good God. You're right here, right now. We just wait on you, Father, for your Spirit. Father, I just want to activate each one of these in healing in the name of Jesus. I want to activate them in a healing anointing. They already carry it, Father. I just want to put a little fire on it. Put a little fire on it in Jesus' name. Put a little oil on it in the name of Jesus. I feel the anointing increasing right now. Some of you can feel it over your shoulders. Some of you can feel it in your knees right now. This presence of the Lord, like electricity, like a weightiness over some of you. Some of you can feel it over the front of your face, presence of Jesus. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, over hands, I speak a burning in Jesus' name. Over hearts, I speak a burning in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's going to release an activation, just an impartation to activate you in Jesus' name even more. So Holy Spirit, I ask for an impartation, anointing to be released. In Jesus' name. Get ready, get ready, get ready. All right. So, Father, right now, just release fire in Jesus' name. Get ready for fire. Get ready for fire. Father, Father. Fire in Jesus' name. Fire in Jesus' name. Father, Father. Activate, activate, Father. Activate in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit. Father, she's got what it takes, Holy Spirit. Father, she's one that would just deliver the wine of heaven to release refreshing into bones in Jesus' name. Fill in the name of Jesus. Fill her. Fill her. Fill her. Fill her. Fill. Fill. Activate. Whee! Holy Spirit. Father. Oh my goodness. The fire. Get ready for it. Get ready for it. Fire. Fire. In her heart, God. Burning hearted one. God's called you to burn. Holy Spirit. Whee! Woo! Shh! Run! Just running. You're running, Father. Whoa. Shh! Fill. Holy Spirit. Fill your daughter. Fill. Whoa! Holy Ghost. Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Fill. Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know. Are we allowed to do a joy healing tunnel? Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we? So, ministry team, I just want you guys to stand on up. All right. We're going to do a healing tunnel filled with joy. I'm just going to pray for God's miracle power to touch you if you still need prayer for breakthrough, for healing, for deafness, blindness, conditions of the heart, arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, different ailments, whatever you've got, organ disease of some description, whatever ailment you've got. We want to release God's presence on you, and we want God to come and smash into your world with His healing power in Jesus' name. So let's form a tunnel. We're just going to have the Holy Spirit's presence come like a kiss from heaven, bringing healing into your world in Jesus' name. So can I get you guys to stand on up right now? Are we going to start? We're going to start. Yes! Come on! Fill! We're going to unleash these people on you. They're chafing at the bit to pray for you. Okay. God is a good God. He's happy God. So if you want to receive prayer for joy, for healing, for presence, I want to ask you, begin to form a line over this side of the church. Just begin to form a line. Sorry. Over this side. It's already starting. We're going to form a line on this side, on the other side, this side. This side. Form a line, and we're going to pray for you. Miracles are going to happen. When you're healed, please just testify. Please testify in Jesus' name.